Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Churches serving vulnerable communities. They make an incredible impact in their communities. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Well, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, Secretary Dr. Ben Carson, has launched an initiative that highlights how the faith-based community is helping some of America's most vulnerable populations. It's called the Mustard Seed Series, and it's highlighting a number of events that feature churches that have successfully created things such as affordable housing, reduced homelessness, or used innovative housing models to serve individuals in need. Now, we have a number of churches that are doing just that in different ways. We have two, and we can break these down. Pastor Ken Graves in Maine with Calvary Chapel of Bangor, Maine. This is a case that we're litigating right now at the Court of Appeals because of the COVID restrictions. And then, of course, we have Dr. Rodney Howard Brown with the River at Tampa Bay Church in Florida. We're not litigating that because, fortunately, that case has been resolved. Thank you to Governor Ron DeSantis, who declared attendance at churches and houses of worship to be essential activity, taking all the restrictions away. But both of these churches begin to illustrate a little bit about what churches do and the problem that you have with these COVID orders that do a one-size-fits-all restriction across the board.
Right. And, you know, it was the faith-based communities that used to deal with these problems, that used to help with homelessness and hunger and things like that that we're seeing in the community. But then it was the government that came along and said, okay, we'll do it. And then you've seen what's happened as a result. These problems have just mushroomed. So it's the church. It's the church that is supposed to be the foundation of meeting the needs of these communities. And now we're seeing with so many churches that are even afraid to open the doors, we've got a real problem. We're seeing these problems escalate as a result.
And the problem between having, say, the housing provided by the government or other kind of social services versus the church is that, one, you lose contact with the individual. The people just become, on the government side, a name.
Right, whereas churches number. Build relationships with people, and their lives are changed as a result because they meet Christ.
They meet the actual people, and then the second one is exactly that. The government doesn't have any faith-based or Christ-based foundation or focus, and churches do. And that is what ultimately the relationship humanly and the relationship with our Lord is what makes the difference.
Right. It's like you talked about, you give a man a fish or you teach him to fish.
Yeah.
You see the difference.
The government approach literally entraps people into the same continual hamster cage circle, going on that hamster wheel over and over again and never getting out. And
making them dependent on the government.
Yeah, and on the other hand, the faith-based and the church community, they want to make these people liberated and give them freedom so that they can be self-sustaining and put a safety net underneath them. Let me just give you an example. The case in Maine, Governor Janet Mills issued an order that banned both parking lot and in-person worship services. Ken Graves is the pastor there, is the founding pastor, started the church when he was only 23 years
old. Calvary Chapel of Bangor.
Calvary Chapel of Bangor in Maine. When he was 15 years of age, he read a book. He was raised in a dysfunctional family. His father was a hard alcoholic, ultimately left the family. He grew up in a very poor area. His father drank all the profits and then eventually left the family, and the family even became more poor. Mm-hmm. So he grew up with this broken family because of his dad's alcoholism, and he grew up in poverty. When he was about 15 years of age, he read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, and he realized at that moment he wants to be a pastor. He wants to share the love of God, but he also wants to be able to help people in families like he had grown up in, people that were involved in addiction through substance abuse. So at He reached out to the local teen challenge. He decided that he wanted to become a part of that. Well, he wasn't a drug addict, and he wasn't somebody who was needing help. He wanted to, as a 15-year-old, be part of it and be mentored. And so one of the wise older people, even though it went against the normal process, decided, okay, we'll bring you in. He was mentored there under some of the best Christian mentorship. At age 23, he started a home Bible study fellowship, and that became Calvary Chapel of Bangor, Maine. Now, when this church, now it has a fully functioning ministry to the broader community, but it also has residential homes on the church property for 24 women and 24 men, and they stay there for a full year. The first 6 months, they're heavily regulated. The next 6 months, they're still heavily regulated, but they ultimately have a little bit more freedom. In 1 year, they go from Genesis to Revelation, reading the Bible, the entire Bible in 1 year. It's amazing. No matter where they come on, if they come on and now you're in Daniel, you'll end just before Daniel a year later. They learn how to be in community, to get off of their drugs, their alcohol. They are introduced to Jesus Christ. They come to the church for praise and worship, for Bible study. It's an amazing ministry. This is one of the ministries of Calvary Chapel.
Talk about a church being part of the solution.
Yeah. So what happens is Governor Mills says no in-person worship. Well, that guts the entire core of these programs. And he would not gut the entire core. He wouldn't just bring them back into the church and say, now we can't talk about Jesus anymore or the Bible. So he's risking criminal charges by continuing to have fellowship with them. They live on the same property now. And this is where they've always been coming, to the church, for the meetings and for the Bible studies and for the praise and worship, for the support, for the mentoring. But he tells the other people that are not part of the program, we're going to have you go online. So what he does is he broadcasts online from the church while the non-substance abuse people are watching, but they're seeing their brothers and sisters that they've grown to love there in the church.
They're like, I want to be there too.
Yeah, right? So they start calling the pastor. Pastor, I miss my family. Aww. They could see their family every Sunday.
That's the way it should be.
I want to be there with them.
Right.
I miss the fellowship. And they ask him this, and this is heartbreaking. Pastor, if I come to the church, will the doors be locked? And Ken Graves says, no, I'm not going to lock the doors. So the people just began coming on their own to be with their family. Now, understand, there's no way he's going to stop sharing the gospel and cut Christ out of the core of this recovery program. But he tried to protect the rest of the community by saying, you go online. And what they saw was, they did that for a while, and then the orders just kept going on and on and on, and they said, Pastor, if I come, will the doors be locked? And the pastor, it breaks his heart. Yeah. So he didn't put out a call for everybody just to come. They just started coming to worship with their brothers and sisters. They haven't had any COVID. And so that's the problem with the one-size-fits-all. Switch over to Tampa. This particular church is amazing. The River at Tampa Bay in Florida. Amazing. This church has inside the church, get this, a tilapia fish farm and an organic vegetable garden. And from that tilapia fish farm, inside the church, mind you, you come in the lobby and you go to the tilapia fish farm. And they have also the organic, all grown under one roof. And what do they do with that? They give free food, fish, and fruit and vegetables to between 900 and 1,000 families every week.
Incredible.
And that particular church goes into the inner city,
where the police officers don't particularly like to go.
And the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department said, since you've been doing that, we have seen a decrease in crime in these high crime-ridden areas.
The church being part of the solution.
This is the church, my friends. Mm-hmm. And this is why these one-size-fits-all templates don't work. The church is broader than an online broadcast. Look, you can't just simply flip these substance abuse people online. You can't flip over here to the river and say, well, we're going to feed you virtually. The church is so much more. Right. You know, I was at a dentist recently, and you know what he said? He's seen a lot of cracked teeth lately. Why? He said, because people are clenching their teeth so hard because of stress under the COVID restrictions. Unbelievable. The church is more essential than ever. It's always been essential for the last 2,000 years. Go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org/churches/churches. Support Liberty Council in your prayers and in your financial support as well. Pray for our cases. We have so many of them around the country. lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.